Hi, this is Mark Brady. I'm the pastor at Anchor Faith Church in Valdosta, Georgia. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast today. We believe it will bless you and minister to you. Now get ready to receive a word from God.
So let's look at God's original intent, just laying a foundation about prayer out of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3, just to reestablish in our minds what prayer is supposed to be, God's original intent concerning prayer. And then we're going to look at the fact that God always, always intended to have a relationship and fellowship with his man. Prayer really isn't about our problems at all. At all. Because actually, he already knows what we have need of before we ask. It was never about a problem. It was always about fellowship, relationship, communion, and discovering who he is and who we are in him. Amen? But because of the fall, man has made it about problems. Amen? So, in Genesis chapter 1, we know, everybody knows the scripture that's been coming to these Kingdom Rise conferences. How many was here last or the year before last when we did the Kingdom Rise in prayer? In prayer. You were here in prayer. So there's some that hasn't been here. So this is good to reestablish some things. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 31, it says, "And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it, of the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, every tree that is fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and everything that moves on the earth, which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw what? All that he had made. And behold, it was what? Good. It was a good thing, right? In the land, because he's a good God, just like Roddy was saying. And so everything he made for man was good. It was a land that was good. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was good. It was good. Amen. But he gave man what? Rulership over this earth. And we know his man Adam failed. He fell, and he handed over his rule, his dominion, his authority to the devil. Amen? And so, ever since that fall, this is what we consider the fall of man, man has only seen God in that inferior position. Therefore, when we come to God, that's the way we come in most religious circles. It is a circus, but anyway, circles, until you know who you are now in Christ once you get born again, once you enter into the kingdom of God. And just like Pastor Huffman said, there's some things that he wants us to enter into. We're going to have to press into the kingdom of God, because when we get born again, we just enter in through the doorway of salvation. Being born again, The cross is just the doorway into the kingdom. And now we have to discover what all this kingdom has to offer to us. But we have to press in to discover it. And the one way we press into the kingdom is through prayer. Through prayer. One way we discover everything that belongs to us is to get to know the Father. Is to get to know Him and what all He says belongs. What all the promises are that belong to us. Amen. And so He gave Adam rulership. We know Adam fell. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. It said, Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, told him to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any of these trees you would eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it, for the day you eat it, you will surely what? Die. Did Adam literally die that day? No, he was separated from the Father. And actually, that separation meant that the glory or the Spirit of God departed from Adam. So the way that we connect to God, because God is what? Spirit. And those who worship Him must do it with what? Spirit and truth. So the Holy Spirit departed from Adam, and then that communication, what happened? Was severed. Was severed. The glory had to depart. The Holy Spirit departed from the man, and communication then began to get distorted, twisted, and everything else that we see happen to his fallen man today and what we see as in the earth today. All distorted, all twisted, man disconnected from God. And what did man begin to do? He began to do things to himself to try to cover his sin, right? Where he began to sew the fig leaves together. What was he doing? He was trying to cover himself with what he could get from the things of this earth. And we know by listening to Pastor Roddy's testimony, nothing in this earth can satisfy man, because man was only supposed to be satisfied by the Creator of heaven and earth, by the Father of glory and His presence. In His presence. In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. And peace and life forevermore. Amen. But all that got severed on this day when Adam chose to eat of the fruit that God had told him not to. Amen. And then we see in verse 18, it said, and then God said to the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make you a helper. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to man and see what he could call them. Whatever man called a living creature, that was its name. I want to highlight that. Whatever man called it, that was its name. Man was supposed to call things into existence and name things by the authority and the power of God. God's original intent. Amen. God didn't name them. No, because He gave man authority over this earth to name it, declare it, and to call it into being. Amen. So it said, then the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took of his rib and closed up his flesh at that place. And the Lord fashioned him into a woman, the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. Now look at Genesis chapter 3 and verses 8 through 13. Genesis 3, 8 through 13. It said, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the what? Cool of the day. So God came down to this earth and walked with man and woman in the what? In the cool of the day. He came down and he walked with them. And he visited with them. He fellowshipped with them. He communed with them. He talked with them. You see that? It said in there, and let me find my place. It said, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide? Because this is when Adam had eaten the fruit that he told him not to. So he hid from the presence of God. Anytime a person is in disobedience or in sin, the very first thing they do is they hide from God. They don't want to be around God. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to be around their friends. They want to hide out those that are Christians. Because that's the first reaction of the sin nature, is to hide from God. So it said here, it said, then the Lord called to the man and he said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherub and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. So here we see in the very beginning, God's original plan for Adam and Eve was that they would rule over the earth, that they would have dominion, and their territory was earth to be able to rule over. Adam chose to disobey God. What do we see? That through that process, we see that God came down in the cool of the day and would begin to talk with Adam about his assignment in the earth. I want you to name the animals. That's a job. That's an assignment. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply and subdue the earth. Take authority over it. Rule over it. Subdue it. Bring things into subjection to it. Instead of letting the world go crazy, you subdue it and bring these things into subjection. Bring it into subjection. So he would begin to talk to Adam about his responsibilities and assignments that God needed for Adam and Eve to do while in the earth. Well, we know the disobedience happened, and therefore that separation came. But we see the way that he talked with them in the cool of the day. Every day, that was a regular thing. He would come down and he would talk with them. And while he was talking with them, what is he doing? He's simply communicating. A lot of times I hear this in believers. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. You know what that tells me? You've not been spending time with the Father. You've not been communing with him. You've not been fellowshipping with him in the cool of the day. You've not been in a place of prayer with him. Because every time you come into a place of prayer with him through communing and fellowshipping with him, talking with him, he is going to give you assignments. He's going to let you know what your purpose is, what his plan for your life in the kingdom of God is for you to do every day. That's why we need to spend time with him every day, talking with him. And it can be anywhere. Where is your cool of the day? Where is it that he meets with you? You can, and the thing about it is now that we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit within us, we can talk to him everywhere, anywhere, anytime. So we really have no excuses. But when we understand what prayer is, that is simply communication with the Father. Prayer is not a position on your knees. Prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer should be something that's continual. When you wake up in the morning, acknowledging the Father. Father, thank you. I love you. You know, you're just talking to him like you're talking to anybody that you have a relationship with. Because Pastor Daryl said last night, when you get born again, this is about a relationship now that you are to have with the Father. And the only way you can build a relationship is through communication, fellowship, communion is what, you know, the church lingo is, right? You talking with the Father. You spending time in prayer, talking with the Father on a continual basis, fellowshipping with him while you're washing dishes, while you're vacuuming, while you're driving in your car, going to work, while you're whatever, taking a shower, talking with the Father. That is simply prayer. Now, there are times that he may lead you to go into your prayer closet and spend extra time with him. But when we realize that God came down in the cool of the day, every day, to meet with Adam, to talk with Adam and Eve, to fellowship with him. And that's what he wants with our life. And if we are really going to continue to advance the kingdom of God, then we're going to have to press in into prayer, and simply picking up our communication. The number one thing that the enemy does, and this is, you know, through marriage, not only that, through marriage, how about in wartime? The number one thing the enemy, or the opposite of when you're fighting a battle, is they want to cut off communication to the troops. And that's the number one thing that the enemy is trying to do with God's children. He wants to cut off communication between you and the Father. So he'll rob your time. Come on. He'll make you think it's a religious exercise, and that if you don't pray 8 hours a day like Brother Hagin did, that you're really not close to him. Come on. No, this is about you knowing how to connect spirit to spirit with God on an everyday basis. While you're working out, while you're walking, while you're gardening, come on, you can have a continual conversation with the Father, spirit to spirit, talking with him and communicating with him. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy is there to rob us of that time when we don't understand what prayer simply is. We know this in Matthew 6 9 through 13. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So he wants his will done in the earth through man. Through man. But the first thing we have to recognize him is as a father. I think we've forgotten that in these days that we're living. You know, we get into a place where we just get born again and we're thinking we're good to go. We're going to heaven. Yet so many believers are living defeated lives because they don't understand that it was really about the Father being able to be there to get to know you and you to know him so that you can discover everything that he has for you to live in this life. Not just so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. But there's things that he wants you to do in the earth to bring heaven through your life. And it's going to take you communicating with the Father every day, getting to know you, getting to know him, because you know what? He wanted sons. This has to do with sons and daughters. This has to do with sonship. It wasn't just about a destination. It was about getting heaven into you and becoming and discovering that you're sons and daughters of the King, of the Father, who loves you and has great and mighty plans for you in the earth while you're here. And so even we come to church and we can get so wrapped up in church that we miss out on just knowing the Father. Because we can go through the programs and serve and do all these things that are works and all along miss out that this was about a relationship so that you can actually do the things that you're doing and you're in constant communication with him. Hallelujah. Listen to these scriptures. It says this: prayer was man with God, make this quote, sorry. Prayer was man's involvement of oneself with God in a unity of love, of a love relationship and purpose. He has a purpose and a destiny for every one of our lives and a plan for us to discover, but it's going to take us building that relationship with the Father to discover it. To discover it, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen to this. Just as he chose us in him, which is Jesus, before the foundations of the world. See that? That we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as what? Sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intentions of his will. So the reason he sent Jesus, come on, was so that he could then adopt us into the family to be sons and daughters of him, the Father. Amen. So we have to look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1, verses 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We are his children, and we are sons and daughters of the King. And we cannot forget that the Father loves us, come on, and wants to fellowship with us and wants to communicate with us and wants to spend time with us so that we can discover everything that he has for us. Hallelujah. Our Father is a King. And we have an inheritance that belongs to us. And so, but the only way we're going to tap into that inheritance is to get to know the Father, to spend time with him, to communicate with him. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, what? Abba, Father. Daddy, God. Abba, Father. Every father that's in their right mind wants to have a relationship with their son. And when we're born, even in the natural, when we're born into a family, you as a child begin to discover who your parents are, what your parents like, what your parents don't like. You begin to discover who they are. And I know lots of us had horrible parents. But that doesn't mean that he isn't a good, good father. And we can discover the goodness of our Father by tapping into our relationship with him and recognizing he's Abba Father. He's my Father. It says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. A slave just goes through life, come on, thinking it doesn't deserve anything and is unworthy. But a son recognizes, I belong to this family. Come on, a son recognizes that whatever the father has is mine. I can go to the refrigerator and get whatever I want. Come on, I can go through the house and do whatever I want because I know my father as a good, good father. Amen. Look at Romans. I want to finish reading 7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you're what? Heir. You're an heir. You're an heir. And most of us are thinking, well, what am I? You know, most religious people think that the heir for them is that when they die, they get to go to the kingdom and go to heaven. But there's promises that belong to us right now. There's an inheritance that belongs to us right now in this earth that we are to tap into, and we're only going to discover it through spending time communicating and fellowshipping with the Father in prayer. Romans 8:14-17. It says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. So he wanted to spend time with his sons and his daughters. We see that in the very beginning. He wanted to come down in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And that's the same thing that he wants to do with us. He wants to fellowship with us as a son and a daughter of the King of glory, of the Father of heaven. Amen. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to give us direction. He wants to give us assignments. He wants for us to discover the inheritance that belongs to us, but it takes communing with him. It takes fellowshipping with him. Amen. Do you know that word communion actually means this? A close relationship with someone. A close relationship with some of us, with someone. Koinonia is the Greek word. It is fellowship, partnership, and communication. To share with one in a participation. Amen. To be enjoyed. To fellowship together. And that's what communion means. That's what spending time in fellowship with the Lord means. Amen. That we are in partnership with him and spending time building that relationship. The Lord gave us this. We were in 7 days of prayer and fasting starting April the 1st through the 7th with the church. And the Lord reminded me of this scripture out of Revelation chapter 20. And it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me." One word for that word, sup, means to dine. But when you break down that word sup and to dine, literally means to commune, to have fellowship. I know in other countries, not so more in the United States, having dinner together is a huge thing. And they put no time limits on it. They don't put time limits on it. Like when we go to Nicaragua, we go over to have dinner at someone's home. They put out the spread. They sit. They want to commune. They want to fellowship. They want to enjoy each other's presence. They want to talk about, you know, the Lord, talk about whatever, and it goes on for hours. Sometimes you don't get to bed till 2 and 3 o'clock at night. It's like that in India too. Dinner, supping, having fellowship. I mean, it goes on and on. And isn't that something he says we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb? Because there's something about that communing and fellowship, being in presence, that builds a relationship with someone. I get to know someone better when I go and have dinner with them and I spend time building a relationship with them and I go and fellowship and just hang out at their home and I'm in their presence. You get to know them more. You get to know what they like, what they don't like. You get to see, you get to know how they think and how they operate. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him," and what? Commune with him, fellowship with him, spend time with him. And actually, the Holy Spirit made me, I just remembered this scripture by the Holy Ghost, but then I looked at it in context. And it was talking about the church that was lukewarm. And he says, "I wish that you were hot or cold, because I'm going to what? Spew you out of my mouth." And then he goes on to say, "Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. I want to come in. I want to spend time with you, but you've become lukewarm. You're not spending any time in my presence, in communion with me, fellowshipping with me. I'm standing at the door." Isn't that what somebody does when they come over to your house? What do? They knock on the door. And you have the choice to either open it and welcome them and say, help yourself. Come on, let's have supper together. Let's dine. Let's fellowship. Or you have the choice to not open the door and let them in. It's in the context. I'm standing at the door. I'm wanting to come in and fellowship and have some communion with you. Open the door and let me in. Let me spend time with you. Come on. The reason you're lukewarm is because you haven't been. You haven't been. You haven't let me in. You're going through the motions, doing all the things, but you really haven't let me in so that we can get into the presence of God, spend time together, commune together, talk, fellowship. Come on. Hallelujah. So God's original plan was that he would have fellowship with man and be able to commune with him. Spend time with him. Hallelujah. And connect with him. We have to learn in this busy world how to connect with the Father and be intentional. You know, this is what we're having to talk to parents about today in our parenting conferences. Because parents are not really connecting with their children, taking them to this sport, doing that, taking them to school, doing all these things. They're on their phones. The kids are on their phones. Come on, they're sitting in front of whatever, their games, videos, and they're not being intentional to connect with their children. Cutting all this stuff off and saying, hey, let's go outside and just connect. Let's just go talk and not have anything in front of us entertaining us to do. Well, let's just go to a movie. There's no connection there. We're not going to go to a baseball game. There's no connection there because you're watching something. Or whatever the case may be, you're always putting stuff in front of their eyes that you're not really connecting and communicating with them and being intentional to spend time. So tell me about yourself. You know, we forget what our kids, what our kids are really thinking or talking or going through because we're really not trying to connect on a one-on-one personal level. And we can do that in our lives with our Heavenly Father who wanted to have a relationship with man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So prayer, simply put, is us communicating with the Father. It is not a religious exercise. We don't have to go through these motions of bending on our knees and having this religious, come on. It is just you simply talking spirit to spirit with the Lord. Lord, I would get bored sitting on my knees. And I'm getting older now and it hurts my knees to be on there, that concrete, suffering for Jesus. Come on. The Spirit lives within us. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we connect to God. Through the Holy Spirit is how we connect to God. And that's what's so good about Emmanuel. He lives God with us. He lives in us. Come on. He comes upon us. He's everywhere we are. That's what's so good. And no matter where we're at, in the hotel room, we can connect to God. Wherever we're at, we can connect if we are intentional and not just go through the motions. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. So let's just connect with the Father today. Let's just connect with Him. Amen. Let's just talk with Him. Let's just spend some time communing with the Father today. Come on. There's nothing I love more than when all my kids come over, spend time listening to the chatter, sitting around the table, just spending time listening and talking and communing. Let's just spend some time. Come on, you can kneel at your seat. You can walk around. You can come to the altar. Let's just connect with God on a personal level today. On a personal level, let's just start talking with Him. Amen. And another great way is through the Word, through the Scripture. There may just be a Scripture that's popping out that you just want to talk to Him about. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we get to come together and just connect with You. Father, we love You. We love You, and we're so thankful, Father, that You chose us. You chose us to be sons and daughters. You chose us to be a part of Your kingdom. And Father, we're just so thankful for that. We're thankful that You loved us. Oh, we're thankful that You are a good Father, that You take us out. You took us out of darkness. You took us out of being separated. You took us out of the domain of the tyrannical ruler that was there to kill, steal, and destroy our life. And You brought us into the kingdom because You loved us and You cared for us. And so, Father, we're just so thankful that we get to connect with You. We're thankful, Father. Oh, we're thankful that You loved us enough, that You called us by Your Spirit, that You drew us in. You drew us in. You wooed us into the kingdom of God. And we're so thankful. We're thankful that we get to connect with You, the Creator of heaven and earth. We're so thankful that we get to connect with the King of the universe. We're so thankful, oh, that we get to spend time fellowshipping with You. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. We trust you received a word from God. If you enjoyed this teaching, be sure to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. By subscribing, you'll be sure to receive a new message every week as soon as they are made available. And if you'd like to learn more about Anchor Faith Church, you can stop by our website at anchorfaithvaldosta.com. There you'll find our locations and service times, ministries that are available for you and your family. You can even give financially in support of the ministry. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Anchor Faith Church podcast.